God is good. God is good. A mother was always very encouraging. You know, if you knew a mother, she was a very lovely lady and very encouraging. I remember a couple of times I had sat next to her mother during service, and I wanted to get up and say something or call out a hymn or something, and another brother beat me to it. And so I kind of sat back down. Next thing you know, when that brother was finished, her mother would get up there. You know, but lovely family. Shall we look at Ephesians 1 and chapter 11? Ephesians 1 and chapter 11. I'm not going to be too long. My son always tells me I talk too much. I don't know. So, but Ephesians 1 and 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And Mark chapter 4, we could take a look at Mark chapter 4, and reading from verse 35. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Shall we pray? And now, my Father, in the worthy and precious name of Jesus, I humbly and reverently approach your throne of grace. Our Father, you would just ask you to just hide me behind the cross, and that I will deliver the word as you have laid on my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have you ever thought about some of the major challenges that you have faced at any given point in life? Have you ever thought about the state of the world as it is today, and the challenges we face living day to day in the state of the world? Taking a subway ride, having to deal with the possibility of crime or victimization. When you think about world leaders and you think about world conflict, and when you think about so many world leaders having love for money and power and doing so little for its constituents. When you think about your own personal life in a more intimate way, and you think about applying for a job and not getting the job that you wanted, when you think about applying for a promotion at your place of work and not getting that promotion that you wanted and that you so eagerly sought, You ever thought about spending 4 years in college? And after spending that 4 years in college, applying for the job that you wanted and finding that you can't get it, but you have to settle for something totally different? Ever thought about looking for the recognition that you deserve and doing all the right things, only to find that your employer never recognizes you? Do you ever think about your work in the assembly? And do you ever think about the local church, for example? Do you ever think about things you may want to do in the local church and not being able to do them? Do you ever think about the fact that you wanted to be a deacon and you weren't elevated to deacon? You wanted to be an elder. They didn't elevate you to elder. And when you think about that and those kinds of things, you have to think about the fact that our view of God will determine our view of life. Let me say that again. Our view of God will determine our view of life. Or our view of life will determine our view of God. I'm going to say that again. I don't want to be misconstrued. But our view of God will determine our view of life, or our life will determine our view of God. So in other words, if God is your point of reference, then you will never be able to understand that which makes no sense. If your circumstances are your point of reference, then you will never be able to understand life itself. If our circumstances are our point of reference, we will never be able to make sense of God. I have come to realize that if I don't understand the sovereignty of God, I will never be able to understand life itself. In this journey called life, we sometimes encounter the unexpected. Life is full of ups and downs, full of pains. Life is full of challenges, and life is full of storms. And our understanding of the sovereignty of the Most High God will determine our understanding of life itself. Our understanding of the sovereignty of God gives us the ability to manage the perplexity of life. And our understanding of the sovereignty of God will empower us to navigate the chaos of life. You see, there's nothing that happens on planet Earth that God is not aware of. Nothing that happens on planet Earth that God is not aware of. There's nothing that happens on planet Earth that God is not in control of. God rules and controls the heavens and the earth. God is sovereign. God is in control. Now, God rules either by causation, making something happen, or God rules by allowing things to happen. God is a God of circumstances, and he will order the steps, our steps, to make things happen because he wants it to happen Well, God says, that's not really what I want to happen, but I'm going to allow it because at the end of it all, I will accomplish the good that I seek. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God can use a good circumstances to accomplish his good. God can cause a bad circumstance or allow a bad circumstance to accomplish his good. God can bring good out of evil. God can frustrate the evil. God is able to allow evil for evil to accomplish good. The sovereignty of God is not just that things happen. All things are under God's control, despite the circumstances. God is sovereign even when it appears that the circumstances are out of control. And we know that because Ephesians 1:11 tells us, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. That's the word. God does everything after the counsel of his own will. He is the creator of all things. He is the controller of all things. He is the sustainer of all things. So I ask the question, if God has created all things, if God is in control of all things, if God is the sustainer of all things, why ever doubt God? We should never appeal to our circumstances. Always remember, whatever happens in life, don't appeal to the circumstance. Appeal to God. Appeal to the God that is in control of all things. Appeal to the God who has sustained you all the days of your life and who will sustain you for the rest of your life. He is the creator. He is the controller. And he is the sustainer of all things. So the governing principle of life has to be the sovereignty of God. Therefore, you can never first appeal to your circumstances. Well, why did this happen to me? Why not me? God is in control. God know who he wants to be deacon. God know who he wants to be elder. God is in control of all things. And he does all things well. God is sovereign. We are not sovereign. That means our circumstances are not sovereign. Therefore, we must never appeal to the circumstances we face. We must never appeal to the circumstances that we face. Our reference point of life cannot be life itself, but the sovereignty of God. You know, Mark 4 says the following, reading from verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And verse 17 says, 37 says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Jesus and his disciples entered a boat with the intent of passing from one side of the Sea of Galilee to the other. The Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles in width from east to west. It's about 13 miles in length from north to south. It takes about 680 feet rather, it's 680 feet below sea level. So it's surrounded by very high mountains, and when the winds sweep down below the mountains, they can cause a great storm. They can churn the waters in the lake. And the storms in the Sea of Galilee come from three different directions, east, south, and west. The strongest of the storms originate in the east. The storm described in Luke 8:22 is believed, with parallels in Matthew and Mark, appears to be detailed account of the storm generated by winds from the eastern shore of the lake, according to theologians. From the south, the winds at the Sea of Galilee, being desert winds, they are very warm and carry a significant amount of suspended particles. Storms from the west are also very dangerous, as they arrive suddenly in the narrow, long, and winding areas from the mountain area. There are these wide gusts of wind that form rapidly. And they can cause incredible power, 200 meters below. And what's described here is a rather intense storm, because what's described here is, and there arose not a storm, but there arose a great storm of wind. A great storm of winds. So this was a rather intense storm. And you might ask, well, how do you know that? Well, a number of disciples were fishermen. And fishermen are quite familiar with being out at sea. Fishermen are quite experienced and familiar with being out on the water. Fishermen are quite experienced with changes in the weather, particularly storms. And they were scared. So you might ask, how do you know that they were scared? Well, verse 37 tells us, it says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And when he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Have you ever thought about why you are in a storm, despite doing everything that God has told you to do? Now, you didn't hear the question. Have you ever thought about why sometimes we get in a storm despite doing everything God has told us to do? Now, it's one thing if you're outside the will of God. You make a serious mistake. You open one of God's gifts. Let's say you have premarital sex. You get pregnant. Have a baby. Have to raise a baby by yourself. Or you marry that person. And then you're looking at that person for 40, 50 years and say, oh, I married you. Or you have that child and you wonder how my life might have been different had I just waited on the Lord, done everything right. Or a person has an abortion, and every day you're looking at other children, other babies, saying, I wonder what my baby would have looked like. I wonder what that child's life would have been like. Only if I didn't have that abortion. Or later in life, even having a family of your own and then thinking about the one you may have aborted. There are storms that we have to weather. God is with us, but we have to weather those storms Because we weren't in the will of God. And those storms, when you make that kind of mistake, it will change the trajectory of your life forever. Make no mistake. I'm talking to the young people now. When you make that mistake, it will change the trajectory of your life forever. But, so when you're outside the will of God, you know, storms are expected. But think about it. It is a totally different scenario when you are in God's will. You say, wait a minute, I'm in God's will, but there's a storm. So this story illustrates a powerful truth. It illustrates that even though you are in the will of God, storms will come. Storms will come. You can't hide from them. Storms will come. Because look at verse 35. And the same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Who said? Jesus! Jesus said, this is what I want you to do. Let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. Now, it's a totally different thing when you're doing everything that God tells you to do. The disciples in the story were doing everything that God told them to do. The disciples were in the will of God. Jesus said, get in the boat. That was the will of God. Jesus said, let us travel the other side. That was the will of God. As a matter of fact, the disciples were with God. Jesus was in the boat. So you can be a church-going believer. You can be a believer who fasts and prays. You can be a Bible-reading, devotional, disciplined believer and still end up in a storm. Let me say that again. You can be a church-going believer. You can be a believer who fasts and prays, a Bible-reading and devotional disciplined believer, and still end up in a storm. It could be an illness while you're in college that just takes you off that trajectory you want. It could be a financial issue. It could be a troubled husband and wife relationship. It could be a failing business. You could at any given time encounter a fierce and tumultuous storm, but yet be in the will of God. You could be in the will of God and encounter a storm that threatens your life. A storm that comes when you least expect it. But always remember, when that storm comes and you're in the will of God, God has a purpose. When that storm comes and you are in the will of God, God has a purpose. God wants to take you on an experience. You know, like going to Disney World. You know, he wants to take you someplace. And, you know, you're just having a good time. And all of a sudden, the trajectory changes. But he wants you to have an experience that will cause you to grow deeper. Can I get an amen, somebody? That will cause you to go deeper with him. Because he wants to take you to the next spiritual level. You know, when you look at verse 38, it says, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, I don't know about you, but I had a couple of experiences where I've questioned God. Lord, where are you? So sometimes, some believers, I always say all, sometimes we question God, why is this happening to me? Why am I feeling lonely? Why am I feeling sad? Why don't I have enough money? Where are you, Lord? Some of us have asked that question. The disciples asked that question. And look what happened. And he arose. It was that Jesus arose. And he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, be still. Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Jesus rebuked the wind. He told the sea to be still. The wind ceased. The sea became calm. All was well. You see, God is going to show up when he's ready. He's going to show up when he's ready. Yes. He's always been there. He never left us. He said, I will never leave nor forsake you. And he never will. You know, I remember I had a case once right here in Brooklyn. And I was a trustee appointed by a judge. And there was a lot of money in the case, in the millions of dollars. And there were other lawyers for the family and other people. You just didn't understand how the brother got the case, you know. You know, they were, you know, up on Eastern Parkway and just wondering, how did he get the case, you know. And so he did all kinds of things. And I knew something was happening. I'll never forget it. I kept saying, you know, this is strange. You know, all these accusations are being made. This is no basis in fact. And every time I go into court, it seemed like the judges, you know, and these other three lawyers are like ganging up on me. It's like what's happening here? You know. And then they wanted an investigation, and they wanted to bring in forensic accountants, and they wanted to do this. I gave him everything. And I'm just like, Lord, you know, I feel so alone. This went on for 2 years. And I remember questioning God. And I remember all the letters I wrote. And, you know, nobody ever responded to the letters. But I still made a paper trail. I knew something was happening because people were going to respond to accusations. Nothing was coming back. And then one day, one of those lawyers sent an email, but they forgot to send a new email. And they sent one of the emails that they were sending to themselves and the judge. I said, whoa. So after everything went poof, Waters, you did nothing wrong, you did an excellent job, poof. I said, it's my time. I said, it's my time now. I'm going after you now. And so what happened was I filed an appeal. I said, this should have never happened. I remember it took 2 years to get the appeal in court. And I remember my day for going to argue the appeal. Sister Waters said, you know, I'll go with you. I said, oh, that's very nice of you. So she came, you know. We sat in the courtroom. It was a crowded courtroom. A room like this, tidy full with lawyers. She sat next to me, and she whispered, she said, you know, I think I'm going to sit in the back. So I looked at her. I said, what'd you say? Yeah, I think I'm going to sit in the back. I said, oh, okay. I'm thinking, oh, ye of little faith, you know. I'll never forget it. I was early on the docket meeting. It must have been like 50 appeals, and I was like number 5 or 6, something like that. And when they called my case, I walked up to the podium, laid out all my documents. Since I was the appellant, I go first. As I'm setting everything up, I said, Your Honors, there's 5 judges. And this one judge said, you don't say a word. You don't say a word. Don't say anything. So the courtroom went, poof. I'm glad my wife was with me so she could witness it. And she looked to the judges on her left, looked to the judges on her right, and whispered. They said, we're taking a recess. I had never seen that in appellate court. And I've argued appeals. They came back out 10, 15 minutes later. And she said, now you can continue. But before you do, I want you to know, you've been through some stuff. I said, yes. Got a judge that read my papers. And it was like Jesus was sitting up there. I had your back all the time. I had your back all the time. I won the appeal. And the point of the sermon is that when we are in a storm, we have to speak to Jesus. We have to ask him to speak to the circumstances. So when we're in a storm, always remember to wait on the Lord. Ask him to order your steps. There are many believers who don't know the power of God. You say, well, why would you say that? I didn't say anything. It's right there in Scripture. Look what it says. It says, and they, verse 41, and they feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Even the disciples didn't know the power of Jesus. No. You didn't hear me. Even the disciples didn't know the power of Jesus. Oh. There are many believers who don't know the power of God. Don't you be one of them. Believe that Jesus is all you need. Like we heard this morning. More than enough. So you want to become a nurse? Keep the faith. You want to become a doctor? Keep the faith. If you were passed over for a promotion, keep the faith. If you lose your job, keep the faith. If you didn't get the job that you wanted, keep the faith. If you're diagnosed with cancer, keep the faith. If you lose your kidneys, keep your faith. If you want to be rich, it takes courage to be rich. Keep the faith. If you want to get married, go off into the sunset. Live happily ever after. Keep the faith. It takes courage and strength to wait on the Lord. If you want to be a partner in a Wall Street law firm, keep the faith. It takes patience and diligence to be a real player on Wall Street. If you want to own your own hedge fund one day, keep the faith. It takes courage, strength to be successful. It's far easier not to be successful. Misery loves company. Success breeds contempt. If you don't want to make waves, be mediocre. If you want to be successful, keep the faith. No matter how tough the road gets, keep the faith. No matter how bad the storm gets, keep the faith. At all things, you got to keep the faith. And keep your eye on Jesus. Amen.